I did not steal JB's beer, just so he knows. I'm really honored to be here. Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you for being you. Somebody asked Sherman Alexie recently what was missing from the world, and he said, kindness and hospitality. And I thought, yeah, that's about right. And Jimmy is emblematic of both those things. And one of the things I love about him as a person and about his poems is that he always chooses kindness when he could choose other things. He could always choose other things, but he doesn't. So I'm going to read a poem from Beware of the Dog. But if you don't have this book, I do want to read you the Sergeant General's warning on the back, which says, not for sensitive ears, must be 18 years old to purchase this book, rated R and or X, depending on your religious beliefs. But if you're an agnostic, I don't know either. If you're an atheist, it doesn't matter. And this is Roxanne. Roxanne. Roxanne! Some of my favorite people were whores, streetwalkers with dirty feet and sticky asses. It holds a certain truth in a long night of loneliness, nights of loneliness that only cops and the ladies of the evening understand. Most cops know the whores, and the whores know most of the cops, and they both look out for each other. Most good cops can count the whores like watching sheep and making sure that the wolves don't hurt or kill the fluffy beasts. Most of the fluffy beauties watch out for the boys in blue if they hear of dirty deeds. They let the information fall to the right ear. Roxanne was a beautiful redhead with the most beautiful green eyes, Irish eyes green, and a touch of golden freckles on her high cheeks and the white skin of an angel. We arrested her. She made the mistake of selling her sweetness to Simon. She fought for a hot minute, and her mouth carried fire, and she kicked and cursed like a sailor who drank too much. She kicked Simon in the shins, called him a sucker of socks, and that his mother was a madam of a stable with $2 bitches. Simon got mad and called Roxanne a crack whore with warts. Roxanne was sitting in the cell crying, and I opened the cage and sat down next to her and handed her my handkerchief and asked her, you want to go home tonight? She said, I don't have a home. I said, where do you plan to lay your pretty head tonight? She said, I got an old man that keeps me in potato chips and lets me sleep late when it's cold outside. I said, a sugar daddy? She said, a sugar daddy. I said, come with me, Roxy. Look out the window. Down there is the county jail. Do you feel like sleeping there for a couple weeks? She started to cry. No, I want to go home. I lied. Roxy, I knew you when you were young, and all the boys would line up to dance with you. Most were afraid to ask you to dance because you were that beautiful, so beautiful, and they were afraid, including me. You were that sweet, that gorgeous, that pretty. Now, you want to go home. We're okay with sending you home, but once in a while, you might want to make sure we don't get hurt. I took her by the hand and walked her to the ladies' room. Go dry your tears. Tell Simon you're sorry for kicking him and calling him all those dirty names. Simon filled out the paperwork, gave Roxanne a candy bar and a cup of coffee. Next time, don't kick me and try to remember policemen are your friends. For a couple of years, we'd see her on the street. She'd wave, and we'd give her everything from candy to roses to a couple of dollars for rent. She gave us just enough information to make the world a safer place to live. Then, one cold November day, we found out she died from an overdose of street. We never knew she was selling her ass to support a five-year-old son. We went to the funeral home, and the boy had the most beautiful hazel eyes. On his high cheekbones, he had a sprinkle of golden freckles. I said a couple of prayers and told the boy, your mother is in heaven, and there's a line of angels waiting for a chance to dance with her. I rubbed his head and walked out into the cold November night. I wanted to write something new, for tonight, and I was reading a lot of Jimmy poems, so I'm going to read just one longish poem. And it's about friendship, and I was thinking a lot about friendship and how grateful I am for the people in my life, and it's so wonderful that you're all here and that we have Jimmy in our lives, and feels good. All publicity is good except an obituary notice. My friend Sinead is Irish and an accountant. I laughed when she first told me this, and she said, "What's funny?" And I said, "Well, accountants are so, and Irish people are so." And Sinead looked at me as if to say, "Go on." But later, I met many Irish accountants in Queens, New York, and seven of them, Sinead included, became my roommates. There's an underground network for Irish accountants in New York. You may not know that. Every Irish accountant I've met is brilliant. They can stand drunk on a pub table and recite Yeats and Brendan Behan, who said, "All publicity is good except an obituary notice." And everyone worked for major accounting firms like Deloitte and Touche and Ernst & Young, and all my Irish friends use the word brilliant a lot. They use the word brilliant for things Americans overlook as ordinary, as in, "That spaghetti bolognese is brilliant," and "Those socks are brilliant," and "That subway ride was brilliant. It didn't smell like piss." And "Didn't we all have brilliant fun?" Once, when Sinead and I were out at our local Irish pub, Yerman's in Queens, where hundreds of bras dangled like tongues above the bar, Jimmy poured free drinks and gave us wooden nickels we could exchange for more free drinks, and allowed us run of the jukebox, where we played the Pogues' Fairy Tale of New York, and Christy Moore's Fairy Tale of New York, and Van Morrison's Fairy Tale of New York, and anyone's Whiskey in a Jar over and over and over, which pissed some people off, but so what? When Sinead and I, finally drunk, made our way home at 3 a.m. up Metropolitan Boulevard, some street kids were hanging on the corner of Metro and Lefferts. Sinead is the gentlest person I know, but she'd been arguing with Jimmy all night, the Irish troubles, the English problem, things I barely knew from books. Sinead comes from Galway. Her grandfather had been the driver for Michael Collins, founder of the IRA. Jimmy comes from the north. But he poured Sinead drinks while they fought, and Sinead double-kissed his cheeks when we left, and Jimmy tousled Sinead's dark curls and said, "Next round's on me," meaning not that night, but soon. We left in kindness, and we believed in kindness. But maybe Sinead was still in a mood, because when we pulled up at the stoplight next to the street kids, Sinead, that soft-spoken sweetheart, rolled down her window and gave the kids the finger, a hard fuck you. And one kid in a thick Queens accent said, "Oh no, she didn't." And as if on cue, the other kids, tough guys who carried golf clubs in the street, because golf clubs aren't technically weapons, because golf, turned and dropped their pants. It was a beautiful thing. Almost choreographed, Queen's Best shooting the moon, but Sinead was mortified. "A finger does not equal an ass," she yelled from the open window. "That is not a fair exchange." "Irish accountant," I said, and she said, "What's funny?" Only someone with a huge heart would believe that numbers would add up, finger versus ass, or that when it comes to what's fair and good in the world versus what's shitty and wrong, fair and good should always win out. I wanted to tell Sinead that, or at least say we were lucky one of the kids didn't drive a golf club straight through our windshield, and that we were blessed. They saw the beauty of mooning us, like a chorus line, instead. But all I said was, "We'll find them tomorrow," and, "It doesn't mean a thing." That was 20 years ago. I could have been someone, Kirsty MacColl sang to the Pogues' Shane McGowan, who sang back, "And so could anyone." When Sinead left New York to go home to Galway, she needed two Xanaxes and a couple Baileys to board the plane. She called me when she landed. "We were on fire," she yelled into the phone. This was the 90s, when there was such a thing as long distance, when static meant you were far away, and not that your cell phone plan sucked. "You were not on fire," I said. I'd been a flight attendant for years. I knew airplanes. There were flames, Sinead said, and the brave firemen, they hosed us down as we came in. They had huge hoses. I thought we would die for sure, but the air hostesses gave us bags of minis to go. You shouldn't drink with Xanax, I said. And Sinead said, what's so funny? Sinead called me long distance for years. She called every day when my father was dying. She called every day when my mother was dying. Last year, I was in Brussels as a visiting writer, a gift, but I spent most of my time forgetting to be grateful, lonely and walking the city instead. And so Sinead, who hates to fly, flew from Galway to Brussels to see me because I was sad and spoiled and not an ocean away for once. I opened the door to my flat and there she was, lovely as ever. It is so brilliant to see you, she said, and I said it back, the word fitting just right. She gave me a bracelet etched with Gaelic words, Croyalan, and fastened it on my wrist and said, brilliant. We spent days together eating olives and drinking wine. We marveled at the maniacal swans in the Bruges canals, and I remembered the time a swan attacked us years ago in Central Park, all furious feathered beauty, wings flailing, a plane on fire. And Sinead made her fingers into guns like she'd seen in American Westerns, but the swan kept coming, of course, and Sinead and I ran until we dropped. Years later, she'd send me pictures of peaceable swans in the canal across from her home, which I've hung next to photographs of my kids, who Sinead has never met, though I tell stories about her that sound like fairy tales. My real name is Amelia Phelan. I was born by an Irish mother and adopted by another. I've been blessed with friends at home and across the ocean. Of the wolf, Sinead said, translating my birth name, which became my daughter's name. In Gaelic, Croyalan means beautiful heart. I hope we see each other again in this life, Sinead said, when she left me alone in Brussels, and I stood on the sidewalk waving as her cab pulled away, trying not to feel too much. Irish accountants deal in numbers and time. Writers deal in memory and loss. There is another world, Yeats wrote, but it is in this one. I hope we see each other again in this life, Sinead said. How could that ever not be possible? Thank you. Joan Bauer's up next. Joan.